that neither their mom or their dad's here with them. They're here with a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle or a neighbor or a friend or somebody that loves them. And I know some services more than others, and but I tell you something, God loves you just as much as he loves anybody else in this building. And I tell you, it takes special people to reach across boundaries to get people in God's house that couldn't be here unless we helped them get here. We was talking about in Sunday school, and I'll get on in the message in just a sec. We was talking about in Sunday school, and a lot of times people will say, by your faith you're healed, by your faith this, by your faith that. And that's all true. Scripture, I can prove every bit of that. But four men cared enough about their friend one day, they carried him down to where Jesus was at. The Bible said that he saw their faith. He saw his friend's faith. He saw the men that cared about him enough to carry him where Jesus was. And it don't say anything about his faith. But he got something done for him that day. Because some people cared about him to carry him down there where Jesus was. And maybe yours is a mom or dad that cares enough about you that they bring you to the house of the Lord. You need to let your mom and daddy know how much you appreciate them. If you're here today and your mom and dad didn't bring you, you need to let the other person know, whoever it is that's bringing you to the house of God, how much you appreciate them. Because one day you'll look back on it and something will happen in your life and it, you'll become something that God wants you to be, and you never could have been that unless you'd have been in the house of the Lord. And so I appreciate the Lord and his goodness this morning. I want us to take our Bibles, turn with us over to the book of Acts this morning, chapter 5. Book of Acts, chapter 5. And I want to start reading at verse 28 this morning. We desire your prayers. You feel the need to come and pray at any time. These altars is always open. And again, we appreciate the Lord and his goodness this morning. I've come to see God do a work in somebody's life. And I know he will if we'll let him, or if we want it, he'll meet that need this morning. Bible said in chapter 5 and verse 28, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? Behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to their heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves whether ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up, Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a hundred of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain. And all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. And after this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And I believe that be all that we read this morning. You may be seated.
I begin to read this scripture where the Bible said in verse 12, I want to back up for just a moment. It said, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and believers were the more added to the Lord. And the apostles began to do a work here, if you'd have it, there around Solomon's porch, and the Lord was using them. Nobody wanted to really join up to them, but believers began to be added to the Lord, and multitudes, both men and women. The Bible said, in so much they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there was such a work going on here around Solomon's porch. If you'll remember, this is close to where the pool of Siloam is, where the moving of the water was. There were, they was five porches there, but here the Holy Ghost has done got the apostles over there where the moving of the water would only come every once in a while, and now there's some men here that God has put his hand on, the apostles. Jesus has left and went back to glory, sitting on the right hand of the Father, and that's what this whole book is about. It's about the acts of the apostles and what they did through the working of the Holy Ghost. Amen. No doubt men was being added to the church. And the Bible said, then the high priest rose up and all that were with him, which is of the sect of the Sadducees, and was filled with indignation, which is jealousy, if you'd have it. These was men who were supposed to be religious. And I was just going to say something here to help you this morning. Somebody that's right with the Lord won't get jealous, but somebody's religious will. Amen. There ain't a jealous bone in my body. I don't care who preaches. I don't care if they preach better than me. If God's in it, I want to hear it. Amen. I don't care who's singing or what song they're singing. As long as it's God's song and the Lord's in it, I want to hear it. Amen. There's no place for jealousy in the house of the Lord. We're all in this thing together. The Holy Spirit wants to use us that the church might be added and souls would be saved and people would come to Christ. Amen. If you're here today and you've never come to Him, that's why we're here. I fully believe I can pray at home. I believe that I can preach at home. If the Lord wanted me to, I can praise the Lord at home. But I can't have fellowship at home. Brother Mallory, if you're at home and I'm at home, we can't have fellowship with one another. But there's something about the church. God used the church. He established the church. And some might say, I'm glad old Joel got on the other night. You don't hear it too much. Everybody say, yeah. Boy, the Lord brought the church in the book of Acts and again at a work in the church. No, sir, he didn't. The church was marching through the wilderness and the rock was following them, and they had a leader that was a picture of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad the church has always been. As some was looking to Calvary and we're looking back to Calvary, but the whole thing about the church is everything is based on Calvary. Amen. Without Calvary, we don't have a church. Boy, they got jealous. They locked these men up. And the Lord, the Bible said, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors. Boy, I like you. You can lock me up and God can get me out. Amen. You can talk about me and God can undo it. Amen. You can be mad at me and He can make you love me. Amen. There ain't nothing man can do and God can't undo. And I'm thankful today, and even when I sin and come short of the glory of God, I have a Savior that can fix it. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's nothing you can do this morning that Jesus cannot forgive and wipe off your slate if you'd have it and give you a fresh start. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, the Bible said the next morning, the one of them went down there to get these men, to bring them back up there. He come back with a report. Brother Matter, he said, the doors were still shut and they was locked. The guards were still on the outside like he was when we left them yesterday. Praise the Lord. I said, when we opened the door, there wasn't no men in there. And that's all I can tell you. Amen. I like that scripture. It said God can open the door and no man can shut it. Amen. And God will close the door and no man can open it. Amen. Oh, Peter walked out of prison. Praise the Lord. I'll never forget this. When the Lord let me see this, I was up in Mableton one day and I was walking in a Piggly Wiggly, and I'd just been studying on some things about a month earlier, and they said Piggly Wiggly, Brother Thomas was the first one to come out with an automatic door. It just opened up when you stepped on the mat, and I was walking in a Piggly Wiggly, and the Holy Spirit hit me, and he said Piggly Wiggly wasn't first. I opened up a door for Peter and just walked right out of there. Man's done nothing and God has not been ahead of him. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's one step ahead of us. You better remember that. He's not following us. There's nothing new under the sun. The same thing we have today, we've always had. We just saw it differently today. They went down there to get these men. And to their amazement, they was gone. Then they had another shock coming into them. Somebody said, hey, them boys that are missing, they're back over in the temple teaching. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ain't that good? And he said, go get them. He brought them in. He said, didn't I tell you not to be teaching? And you know what he said? Brother Randy Peter stood up. Praise the Lord for a good leader. Yes, Peter did things wrong. Yes, Peter was still in the flesh. And I tell you something, Peter loved the Lord. And Peter was a good leader. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of men wants to be a leader. They won't ever stand up for nothing. I tell you, a good leader will stand up every once in a while. He'll stand up for somebody. He'll stand up against somebody. Amen. It makes no difference what God needs us to do. A good leader through the working of the Holy Spirit, he'll use a man like that. The Bible said, Peter stood up and said, well, I like this, he said. We ought to obey God rather than man. Amen. You might think he didn't have much to say, but I tell you, that was a mouthful. Amen. And then he began to talk about Christ and how he said, the man you killed, he's been crucified. He is crucified. And he died and he's been resurrected. And he's been lifted up. He sits on the right hand of the Father. Amen. And it's by him that we do these things. Amen. And boy, they ain't like that. Did they? Amen. No, they didn't like that. He said, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. How many of you could say amen this morning that when you prayed to Jesus, he forgive you of your sins? Amen. I'm glad he forgives sins, ain't you? These men didn't like that. They had killed him. They tried to stop the work of the Lord. Amen. I got some news for you today. The work of the Lord has not been stopped. It's not going to be stopped. And God's going to work till this thing is done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, they got fired up because it cut them to the heart. And I've been in meetings where I preach things, and they cut people to the heart. Amen, I've seen it. You might not have seen it. People don't want to shake your hand. I told somebody the other day, I said, I get a little concerned when I go preach revival after revival after revival, and everybody's shaking their hand going, boy, that was good. Good job. I enjoyed that. Enjoyed that. I said, that's locking apostles up, stoning them, killing them, taking their head off. And now all of us running around preaching to one another. Ain't nobody getting mad. I really wonder sometimes if we're pleasing God or if we're pleasing men. Amen. But every once in a while, that I got to get the crossing and ruffle a few feathers, praise the Lord. I tell you, I know the Lord has used me to do some preaching when a few people gets aggravated. Amen. I ain't trying to make people mad, but I tell you something, everybody ain't going to be happy when the gospel's preached and the Bible said and they begin to be cut. Amen. They was cut to the heart. Brother Jeff, how was they cut to the heart? Did he use a sword? Yes, he did. He said the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it cuts to the marrow of the bone. Amen. You know what that means? It'll go right down to the inside where the living's at. And he'll cut and he'll get right in there. Boy, I got excited last night. Was up in revival. After the man got preaching, he was standing beside him. We got talking about the Lord a little bit. He said, boy, the word of God do a lot of things, won't it? I said, yeah, it'll crush you, and then it'll put you back together. It'll cut you, and then it'll mend you. Praise the Lord. It'll let you know you're wrong, but then it'll show you how you can be forgiven. Amen. It won't tear down something, and it won't build back up. God is in the life-changing business. He fixes people's lives, and he came out of seeking to save that which is lost. Amen. Oh, reason he come. Well, they got mad. And they wanted to lay hands on these men. And boy, praise the Lord, the Bible said when they heard that, they were cut to the heart. And they took counsel to slay them. I'll never forget what my pastor said years ago. Every time the word, I read that where it said they went to lay hands on them, he used to tell me, he said, Jill, he wasn't talking about no hug neither. Praise the Lord. These people was mad. Brother Darrell said they had counseled among one another. They was wanting to kill these men. Boy, their indignation, their jealousy. The Bible said jealousy is crueler than the grave. Brother, I want you to know that when people get jealous, it causes them to do things that they wouldn't do. Amen. There's people sitting in prison today because they got jealous because their husband or their wife was seeing somebody else and they killed somebody and they never thought they would. And I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people shut down on Joel the other night because a lot of times we'll make statements in church and he said it's in every one of us to kill somebody. And boy, I could tell everybody's cringe and thought, not me. But while all he was trying to get at was we're all sinners. We're all in the flesh. Everybody's got a pressure point. And I'll tell you, I've thought about it many times. A man could spit in my face and I could probably push it away. I could be talked about. I could push it away. But you hurt my wife and children and you went too far. Amen. I don't know what I'd do, Brother Randy. I'll tell you one thing. I got a lot of confidence in Tony Hall. I got a lot of confidence in a lot of men in his church. Now I remember one Sunday he stood up and he said, you know, somebody he knew had stolen something, was in trouble law. He said, I'm not trying to say it was right. He said, a lot of times before I'm quick to judge, he said, I'd like to know what the circumstances was. He said, because I'm going to tell you something. If my children were starving to death, he said, I just really don't know what I would do. Amen. If I didn't have money and didn't have food. See, we've been blessed so much to have anything we want at really at any given time. We've never really been put to the test of whether we'd trust the Lord or whether we'd sin when we needed something. Amen. I like what a man told me one time. He said, it's not what you do,
in a room full of people lets me know whether you're right with the Lord. He said, it's what you do when you're in a room by yourself. It lets me know if you're right with the Lord. You know what he's saying? A lot of times we do things when we're around other people and we're pleasing other people. Amen. Some people won't cuss. When they're around other people, when they're by themselves, they'll cuss. I'm going to tell you something. I'd be worried more about how I talked when I was by myself, because God still hears what comes out of your mouth. Amen. It amazes me all the time. And I know we're sinners, but it amazes me how little we let God use us and how we quickly forget what he's done for us. We allow ourselves to get in a circumstance where we do things we ought not to do. I'm going to tell you something. I've heard things that's went on the last 2 or 3 years, and I'm not going to drag it all up. Some of it's been really close to our hearts, and we've heard things that's happened to preachers and deacons and singers and in churches and whole churches and part of churches. But let me just share something real quick. You go back and read the Bible. Hey, several New Testament letters that Paul wrote, and he began to talk about things that was going on in the church, and he made statements. He said, these things ought not so to be. You know, every time people read things like I immediately want to talk about lost people. But when Paul was talking to them, he addressed them several times as brethren. And let me tell you something. I believe most everybody in here is saved, man and woman. But I believe all of us have committed some kind of sin this week and come short of the glory of God. And I'm preaching about a man that can fix these things. Amen. We've got where we don't want to come. Tell him we're sorry for what we've done. Almost like we've kept it from him and he don't know what we've done. Let me let you in on something. He knows what you've done. And you not coming to the altar ain't keeping nothing from him. It's just keeping you from getting close to the Lord. Getting that relationship right. I don't know if I have enough strength to finish this, Thomas, but this is what was on my heart this morning. I didn't know all that other was coming. That was just, I ain't never said this, I don't guess, but every time we go out and eat, I like to eat. Had a waitress the other night. I feel bad sometimes. We went out and eat. Me and Amanda went on a date the other night. First time we've been on a date since February. I called her and I said, get ready, we're going out on a date. And she said, we ain't got the money. I said, just tell me you don't want to spend no time with me. Instead of making excuses, that'd make me feel better. And I said, or either get ready, we're going to eat. And so she got up and got ready. We went and ate. You know what the waitress said first thing? Brother Rain, we got there. As she come up, give us something to drink. And she said, will there be an appetizer this evening? And I'm always, yes. It'd be an appetizer. We want to start off with something. Give me a list of what you got. You know? But what, my two of us, and Amanda don't hardly ever eat an appetizer. So I was looking at the lady intently like, yeah, I'd like some. And I looked across the table, my wife like, well, we're going to get an appetizer? Praise the Lord, she ordered it this time. She said, yeah, go ahead and bring an appetizer. Amen. Said, you going to help me eat them? She said, yeah, I'll eat a little bit. All I'm giving you this morning, that was a little bit of the appetizer. Amen. I hope you enjoyed that. Come from the Lord. But old Gamaliel here, this is what I won't get to. Verse 33 said, when they that were cut to the heart took counsel to slay them, they then stood there up one in the council of Pharisee named Gamaliel. What I like about that is it ain't always God's people that's standing up. We read there a few verses earlier where Peter stood up and let them men know that they ought to be obeying God rather than men. He stood up for what the apostles was doing. Their teaching, their work, and what they believed, and the doctrine they're teaching. I want you to know something this morning. Your pastor believes in the Bible. It's the Word of God. Of the virgin birth, of the Trinity. I believe in our doctrine. Praise the Lord. I ain't ashamed of it. Amen. Amen. It's the power of God unto salvation to them that believes. Amen. If you don't believe it, you can get saved. Amen. There once while at work, one of them men don't even go to church. Maybe I'm not around or I'm just walking up and they'll say, ain't that right, Jeff? I say, I don't know, I ain't going to say. That's right, now I hear what you're talking about. And then one of them will say, well, I'll tell you, it just ain't right for another man to pick up somebody else's tool if it don't belong to them. And it'll be somebody that drinks and cusses and shacking up or whatever you want to say, but they're still trying to stand up for something that's right.
Amen.
Y'all with me? And I tell you, it do us good every once in a while to encourage that person and say, that's right, I appreciate you standing up. What's right? They might not be doing everything right, but when they're standing for what's right, we need to stand with them. Amen. Don't point out everything they're doing wrong. You know, how would you like if everybody pointed out what you was doing wrong? You might be here and say, well, I ain't doing nothing wrong. You just did. You lied. Because you are doing something wrong. If you think you ain't sinned, the Bible says you deceived yourself and love the Father's not in you. Amen. Amen. We've all come short. But Gamaliel stood up, and the Bible said he was a doctor of the law. This wasn't somebody that just knew a little bit about the law. He knew it in and out. He knew what they could and couldn't do. He knew what they could get them on. There's probably charges he could have twisted around. Brother Randy got these men. But you know what he did? He said, fellas, let me just share something with you. And I'll share this with you and I'm done. Bible said he had a reputation among all people. You know what that means? Everybody had confidence in Gamaliel. Now you listen to me and you listen close. You ain't got to be a preacher for people to have confidence in you. You believe, you understand that this morning? What you say and what you stand for is going to affect a lot of people if they've got confidence in you. So you better be careful what you stand for and what you don't stand for. I've been in congregations or been in little cliques or little areas, Thomas, where something happened and we had to leave and you felt like maybe somebody should have said something and let's just say somebody was there like Brother Cook, Brother Billy, whoever the senior person is, and the first thing they say is, well, Billy didn't say nothing. Well, Brother Raymond didn't say nothing like that made it okay. But I'm going to tell you something. If God tells you to stand up and say something, you don't wait for other people to stand up. You need to stand up what's right. Amen. Amen? There's people this morning that's got confidence that people here in Welcome Grove that don't even know who Billy Chambers is. You understand what I'm saying? So if we don't stand up, they don't know about him, but they know what you stand for, and they was expecting us to stand up for what's right. You know what's the biggest problem with the church today? She's quit standing up for anything. They take prayer out of school, nobody does nothing about it. Won't take the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse, nobody wants to do nothing about it. Won't fly the gay colors on the White House and not fly the American flag, ain't really nobody doing nothing about it. Amen. I'm not being ugly, that's just the truth. I tell you, I wish I could get some of these other groups to get stirred up about stuff to get saved and get in a church so we can do something. Amen. People don't want to march again. And they had a Christian march one year, and y'all might remember it, might not, up here, up in Marietta. They called us, a brown chaplain, and let us know about it. And I said, well, I'm going to go. But I always said, we need to do something. If something wasn't right, we went up there to march. It was pitiful. I was really ashamed. I wasn't ashamed that I went. I was ashamed of how few people was there to march. Hundreds of churches was told about it. We probably didn't have five people from each church. Probably could have put them in one big church like Floyd Road. Some of these other associations get ready to march. You couldn't fit them in a stadium. They get stirred up about stuff, Brother Matter. We've got used to things happening. And you know, this is a statement that bothers me the most. Well, what's one man going to do? What can one person do? What's my one vote going to do? It ain't going to do nothing if you don't use it. Amen. I'll tell you, if you stand up and you might think you're one person, there might be 1,000 more people stood up because you stood up.
Amen.
You don't never know who's following you. I want to come get a verse of song. Brother Nick and Lisa had to leave. Or to come on, John, Regina. But old Gamaliel stood up. He said to them, you men of Israel, take heed yourselves. What you intend to do is touch him. He said, you better think about what you're fixing to do to these men. He said, what your intent is to do. He said, for before these days arose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain all as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. He said, there's a man come through town named Thaddeus, and He boasted himself to be somebody. About 400 people joined up to him. He said, boy, that thing come to naught. You know what naught means? It come to a stop.
Amen.
Didn't last.
Amen.
Some of you already know I'm going with this. Praise the Lord. I got something's going to last, Brother
T. Right.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And he said, these old things come through town. A lot of people jumped on the bandwagon. And it happens in our churches today. Something new comes to town. Everybody gets all excited about it and jumps on the bandwagon. Till next year it fizzles out like a firecracker. It ain't got no pop to it. I can't stand by a firecracker and watch that go and go down and go. And I'm standing there, and I'm afraid to get close to it, afraid to clean it up. I mean, just pop. That's what you're made to do, praise the Lord. Make some noise. Amen. Brother Darrell, we're just made to worship and praise the Lord. Let's just do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And old Gabay, he said, this thing come to naught. He said, there's another fella. He said, after this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the tax and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, was dispersed. That means they scattered too. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Not everybody that claims to be a leader is going to keep the people together. Both of these men caused a scattering. The Bible said one place, I believe it's the book of Isaiah, said, woe unto the pastor that scattereth the flock. They better be careful. I believe in standing what's right, and I believe and preaching the truth, but if I can't preach the truth in love, and I can't preach the people in a way that's going to keep us together, working together, I'll let another man do it that can. Amen. I'm not in the business of scattering people, praise the Lord. We're trying to grow a church so our children can be saved in. Amen. That's what we need. Old Rob quoted a verse last night, I ain't heard in a while, and I appreciate it, but he said, I'll give you pastors that has the heart of God. And I tell you, if they've got the heart of God, they won't want to scatter God's people. They want to bring people together. They want families to come back together that's coming apart. I'll tell you, they ain't nothing would make me more happy. Some of these kids this morning, I was talking about being here without their parents. I'd be doing backflips off a stage and probably wouldn't have preached if some of their parents come right in the last of service, got saved and started coming and bringing their children to church. It, Tanya, my niece, it won't do right. If she'd truly get saved, I'd be doing backflips. Yes, I love them four kids. But if she'd do right and raise them right and love them, they'd be best with their mother. Amen. But if she ain't going to love them and do right, God put somebody in their life that is going to try his best to love them and do right. And I'll tell you, I appreciate you. God put you in those children's lives. Whoever's lives you're in, make a difference, amen. Make a difference. Somebody made a difference in you. Make a difference in them. The Bible said, I say unto you, refrain from these men, let them alone. For if this counsel, this work be of men, it will come to naught. It'd be good if sometimes people just leave you alone. I love it when pastors start saying, let's do that. And everybody goes, well, we ain't never done that for well, this, well, that. And I'm just like, well, just be quiet. You ain't had nothing to say last 9 months. You ain't testified. You ain't had a prayer request. And as soon as the church gets excited, wants to do something, now you got something to say. Praise the Lord. It'd just be good. Some people just let us alone. I believe some churches could grow if the pastors had liberty to follow the leadership of the Lord. Every church, it's not like Welcome Grove. I promise you. It's just not. This ain't the only one out there. I know that. This is a good church. Got good people, good deacons, good members, good men, good women, good families. I got a good preacher friend of mine. Right now, if I told you his name, most of you know him. You've heard him preach. Preaches the truth. Loves the Lord. You know what, Brother DB, he's preaching on something. Some men come to him and say, look, you can't be preaching on that here. He said, what was the problem? He said, it's in the Bible. He said, what I preached was in the Bible. They said, yeah, but you can't be preaching on that. And he said, what do you expect me to do if that's what the Bible said? They said, well, if you can't quit from preaching on that, probably just best for you leave. We're having preachers, pastor calling anyways coming up in a couple months. They had this one of them church. I ain't been ugly. I haven't once a year. And as far as I know, I may one day have to, Brother Matt, but I'm not ever planning on pastoring a church as pastor calling every year. If they won't get rid of me, I'll leave. We ain't got to go do that. But we're not going to go through it every year whether they like what I'm preaching or not. Amen. If it's Bible, you ought to be able to preach it. If it ain't the Bible, the man needs to be addressed. Amen. I don't care who it is. If I get out of this book, it don't have to be the deacons to come talk to me. You understand that? Every man in this church has a right to come talk to me and say, I think you got out of the book Sunday. If he's right, I apologize. But if he's wrong, I'm going to tell him he's wrong. I'm going to show him a scripture where I was preaching the truth. And nobody's going to know we talked unless he leaves and goes tell somebody. Amen. I'm fixing to be done, but I've told a couple people, I said, now look, what we just talked about between us is going to stay between us. And if you don't go tell nobody, nobody's ever going to know. But then if people start finding out and going, did so-and-so come and talk to you? First thing I think is, boy, he went and told somebody because I ain't told nobody. And that's pretty easy if only two of you's talking. And then people find out and you didn't say nothing, the other person had to be doing the talking. Let me just tell you something, that ain't right. You know what the Bible said? That's sowing discord among the brethren. That's a charge the church could deal with you on. So I always remember, be careful what you're talking about. I don't know why I'm bringing up all this today. We got a loving church, no trouble that I know of. But I tell you, we're not going to have no trouble. Amen. You know who causes trouble? The devil does. How many of us is against the devil? Say amen. Praise the Lord. Then he ain't going to be able to do nothing here unless we let him. He can only work through the people. If we work together, he won't be able to. He, I want to finish here. He said, but if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. And I just want to say this morning on authority of God's word, hey, something going on at Welcome Grove can't be overthrown. Praise the Lord. You might be new to this place, but you're going to find on that out there's a movement going on around here, and it's not just going to sizzle and fizz out and don't have some pop to it. Praise the Lord. I ain't never thought about that cracker pop like that, but I like it. Every once in a while, some of them around here is going to shout. Every once in a while, one of them around here is going to pop, and they're going to start leaking. Shed some tears. Praise the Lord. I want us to rise to our feet this morning. I want to ask you a question. Do you have something that's going to last? Or does what you have seem to fizzle out? You ain't got to come back to the altar every 6 months to try to get re-saved if you've really got it. But I tell you, you're going to have to come talk to the Lord regular to keep things out of our life so we can have a good relationship with Him. I like old Gamaliel. I tell you, he's a precious man in the Word of God. He stood up for the apostles. He stood up for what was right. They could have done something to him that day had it not been for him. And I'm going to tell you something. I hope and pray to the good Lord, every one of us when we leave here, when you get on your jobs, I hope you're standing up for what's right. Every opportunity you get, I'll share one thing and then I'll be done. I remember Glenn come in one Sunday and he was sharing in Sunday school. And I've never forgot this. And it was something small to a lot of people, but it meant a lot to me, Brother Glenn. And he said, Brother Jeff, he said, I know we work on trucks and site and this and that. And he said, some of the men keep a cussing. He said, I just got tired of hearing it. And I told him I wasn't going to hear it no more. He said, I hope I ain't go too far away. He said, I started a dollar jug. Called a cussing jug, I think, or whatever, a pizza jug, or whatever. And he said, every time they cuss, he said, I'd point them and go, put a dollar in. And them guys started putting a dollar in there. And he said, and then we'd use that money to buy pizza. And he said, but if when it got to the point there wasn't hardly any money in the jug, people didn't want to put a dollar in anymore. And if we'd went a while, and he said, there's only like a dollar or two in there, he said, I'd just buy pizza for everybody. And he said, I'd tell all of them, hey, I really appreciate it. We didn't have enough money to buy pizza. All y'all been quit cussing. And I'm going to tell you something. Listen, you ready? That's one man. What difference can one man make? I'll tell you what. If one man can help a whole construction crew quit cussing, you're making a difference. Amen. Are you making a difference where you work? Or you don't never say nothing. Don't never stand up. Nobody even knows you go to church. Is that us? Come on, let's sing whatever verse song on your heart.